Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. Since election night 2016, the streets of the U.S. have rung with resistance. People all over the country have woken up with the conviction that they must do something to fight inequality in all its forms. But many are wondering what it is they can do. In this series, we'll be talking with experienced organizers, troublemakers, and thinkers who have been doing the hard work of fighting for a long time. They'll be sharing their insights on what works, what doesn't, what has changed, and what is still the same. I am Sarah Jaffe, your host.
My name is Chokwe Antar Lumumba. I am an attorney in Jackson, Mississippi, and a candidate for mayor of the city of Jackson.
For people who don't know the history of what's been going on in Jackson, Mississippi over the last several years, give us a little background on the movement that you come out of.
So I am a member of the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement and also a member of Cooperation Jackson, the Coalition for Economic Justice, and the Human Rights Collective, all of which are organizations which are steeped in the idea of creating self-determination and seeing human rights for human beings. What we've been engaged in are initiatives to see a solidarity economy come into fruition for the people of Jackson, give people more control over their destinies, and looking to do it in a comprehensive fashion. The engagement of electoral politics and a number of other community-based initiatives that we believe will change the order of how the world, in terms of giving people more control over their governance, control over their conditions, and not only the change in the order of Jackson, but the order of the world.
So tell us a little bit about how the campaign is going. You've got a couple of weeks, right, before the election?
We are right at the edge of this thing. The election is May 2nd. We announced our candidacy nearly a year ago to this point, and so it's been going strong. We are performing well. The response has been great. We are, by most accounts, the likely victors. However, we don't put all of our faith in polls and such. It does not substitute the work. And so we're trying to make certain that we don't get complacent and that we see this thing all the way through.
Yeah. So talk about what are some of the issues that people have been most concerned with while you're out campaigning?
The primary issue that you hear about most is the infrastructure. We have, our roads are in a horrible state. We have our pipes, which are over 100 years old. They're decaying and corroded and breaking throughout the city. Those are the issues that you hear most about. But there are also issues of budgetary issues with the city. Our city employees are furloughed at this time. We have a lack of economic development. Our school system is suffering. Crime is high. All of which there's a symbiotic relationship, there's a nexus between those things. And, we believe that there are some steps that we can employ that we believe will really help bring a change in the city of Jackson.
Yeah, so talk about the Cooperation Jackson and that, the roots there in when your father was briefly mayor, correct?
Correct. Cooperation Jackson actually got its, it was founded after my father passed, shortly after he passed, maybe even after my campaign, it was close to when I campaigned and when it got its initiation. But Cooperation Jackson comes out of the Lumumba Center, which is named in honor of my father, Lumumba Center for Economic Democracy and Development. And what we are trying to achieve is creating a solidarity economy and empowering underserved communities economically and having economic justice and exploring new and creative measures of how we do that. Jackson, like a number of cities, is not a city that has a problem producing wealth. It's a city that has a problem maintaining wealth. And so we have to create a better environment that helps aid in the retention of wealth within underserved communities. We've had businesses come, and it takes the idea of a need for business development and looks at the best practices to do so, making certain that we invite and we create and nurture and have an incubator for small homegrown businesses that are needed in the community, but also that we create businesses that by their very nature are owned and support the community. So we're looking at the cooperative business model, where a cooperative business could essentially be anything that you could imagine. One thing that people are frustrated about, even though we are a city of 175,000 plus, there mm-hmm. is no movie theater. There's no movie theater in the city of Jackson. All of the movie theaters are in the bedroom communities. And so mm-hmm. we feel that where we see a void, where we see a need, we can create it for ourselves and create a cooperative movie theater. So therefore, the community is able to fill its gaps, fill its voids, and at the same time, the people who work in labor not only have the opportunity to dictate what their labor will be, but to see and dictate what the fruits of their labor will be.
This would be a pretty big radical change for the city of Jackson. So tell us a little bit about the opposition to all of the work you guys are doing.
Well, there's a lot. There's different forms of opposition. Mm-hmm. There's the opposition from the big power brokers who have benefited from the way the system currently exists. We have a situation which is much like the nation, where you have so many with so little and so few with so much, right? And so they represent those interests and want to fight against any type of change that might level a playing field. So that's one on one hand. And then you have misinformation. You have confusion. You have people who are being told that it's not in their best interest or in some form or fashion that we're trying to prepare for some takeover, which, you know, takes over their lives. And so we just have to make certain that we really are clear in our message and clear in the delivery of what we're trying to accomplish, that we're not trying to push anyone from the table. We're trying to bring more people to it and expand and broaden the tent. That's what we really want to do, and we believe that there's opportunity to do so. When we talk about creating wealth and you know, one thing that I have is a stated goal. My stated goal is that on city contracts, if I'm fortunate to be elected mayor, I want to see 60% of the boots on ground to be Jacksonians. 50% of the subcontracting I want to be minority subcontracting. And Jackson is a city of 85% African American. And right. So my vision is not even a question of color as it is a question of economics. If 85% of your population is left-handed, then you need some left-handed jobs.
That's an excellent way to put it.
Yeah.
So I like that. So when I talked to Kali back in January, he was talking about a couple of the challenges being that the state could potentially take over both, I think, the school system and the water system. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, so what we're seeing throughout the country is that, you know, there is communication between different oppressive institutions. So we're seeing a lot of what took place in Detroit. Now there's an effort to implement that here in Jackson. Took place in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they tried to take over the airport, is now underway here in Jackson. There's an effort to do so. And many people don't know that in a place like Detroit, before Detroit went bankrupt, they lost control of their water, right?
Right.
And so there are lessons learned and battle stories being exchanged on both sides. And so we have to make certain that we have to be prepared and to share information so that we can stop those efforts being employed on our community and other communities similarly positioned. And so these are the efforts. There's an effort to stress a need to regionalize our water. Which I'm against. Yeah. One of our clientele is a bedroom community, the West Rankin community, which is a client to our water system, and they're threatening to get off of the system and create their own water treatment facility.
Yeah.
Which they represent less than 25% of our clientele. And so they're looking for a 50-50 split or even greater on their side in terms of the decision-making from the board. And I believe that makes no sense. That doesn't make, you know, that doesn't make sound rational sense to me. And so I think we have to fight that effort. The city of Jackson owns its own airport. It is in Jackson is in Hinds County. However, the airport is in Rankin County. It's a plot of land that the city purchased of more than 3,000 acres, of which 800 of those acres the actual airport sits on, all of which is owned by Jackson and some of which has been incorporated as the city of Jackson. A lot of development has gone on in the area, and it's prime real estate. So there's an effort to steal it from Jackson so that they could, you know, develop for their needs as opposed to what meets the needs of the citizens of Jackson. And so we're trying to fight those things. And part of that requires leadership, which knows how to advocate, right? You know, people have often said, well, you need those friendships in order to get the job done and to make certain that you aren't stepped on. I think friendships are important. However, beyond just relationships is respect. A marriage without respect won't produce much. And so they need to understand that Jackson will have leadership that you know, when it comes to the table, we'll find the points of leverage. We'll find the points that highlight our strengths versus their weaknesses and negotiate for things that are amenable to both sides. And if you don't have that posture, if you're not willing to do what it takes to rescue yourselves, then no one else is going to come in. The Calvary isn't coming to save you.
Obviously, we live in Trumplandia now. So for somebody who's been in Mississippi and working and organizing in Mississippi for a long time, what have you been thinking watching the last couple of months of the Trump administration, and what advice do you have for people who are, I think it was Kali said to me, you know, everybody woke up in Mississippi on November 9th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been my statement. You know, when people ask, well, how did you feel, you know, the Wednesday after the election, I said, well, I woke up in Mississippi. And what that means to me is, no matter whether Trump is president or whether Obama was president, if in Mississippi, if you were poor before Obama, you were most likely poor after Obama. And you know, Mississippi has not had the opportunity to feel great booms or big busts in the financial market of our country, because no matter whether the country was excelling or on a decline, we still were at the bottom. We've always been at the bottom. And so Mississippi has been largely neglected by everyone. And the real opportunity to win Mississippi or to organize in Mississippi is to address the needs of the people in this space. And I think that it's a real opportunity to develop, because if you take a place like Mississippi, which has been the haven of oppression in many regards, whether we're talking about racially, culturally, socially, or even economically, it's a haven for bad employment practice. If you can change the conditions in Mississippi, right here in the belly of the beast, then it speaks to what we can achieve across the globe. And so we no longer want Mississippi to be the refuge for companies that want to pay low wages and create conditions which, you know, employees are treated in just a devastating fashion. And if we can change that dynamic here, then it makes it unsafe for them to go to any place to do that.
Right.
And so we start creating an agenda and creating the model for what we can achieve as a people and what principled leadership can achieve, so that there's no safe space for that type of oppression.
Yeah. Excellent. Anything else you want people to know about your campaign or the work in Jackson or anything?
I just want people to understand that that, you know, this is a sincere work, and I do not believe that electoral politics is the end. It's a means to an end. And so we have to make certain that we have a comprehensive and holistic approach to how we change conditions for people. That's why we have organizations like the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement and Cooperation Jackson. It's why, you know, we have been engaged in a number of efforts throughout the years in order to really address where people are hurting most. But it's also why we see a unique opportunity to expand our approach, to bring more people into the fold and yeah. really start addressing what people are dealing with. And I want people to understand that what is happening in Mississippi isn't exclusively important to Mississippi, but it's important to the world. That we have things like, people's assemblies, where we try to pressure the leadership and receive information from the leadership and at the same time give the leadership information that we're always engaged in the process. We want to change the way we look at electoral politics. No longer should we just buy someone's agenda, listen to how they're going to do all of these great things for us, only to find ourselves disappointed in the end result. We need to start creating the agenda for ourselves as a community and draft the leadership which represents the agenda in which we've created. Draft the leadership that we know is fully committed to that. And even if people hadn't envisioned themselves being in electoral politics, such as myself, but I understand that our leadership must come less out of political ambition and more out of necessity. I want to encourage your audience to look at our website, to go to www.lumumbaformayor.com. Lumumba is L-U-M-U-M-B-A, F-O-R-M-A-Y-O-R, lumumbaformayor.com. We're on social media at Lumumba for Mayor on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and engage in the campaign. If people want to join us, help in the effort, come on down. If people cannot come and be a part of what we're building, send some resources. You can donate to the campaign on our website.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Faillebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.